Now, following our second place finish in Iowa, we've prayed and deliberated on the way forward. If there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign. I'm proud to have delivered on 100% of my promises, and I will not stop now. It's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. They watch his presidency get stymied by relentless resistance, and they see Democrats using lawfare this day to attack him. Well, I've had disagreements with Donald Trump, such as on the coronavirus pandemic and his elevation of Anthony Fauci. Trump is superior to the current incumbent, Joe Biden. That is clear. I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge. He has my endorsement because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear, a repackaged form of warmed-over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents. The days of putting Americans last, of kowtowing to large corporations, of caving to woke ideology are over.
And that was the announcement that came yesterday. I got word that it was coming in, and then the video came. And there we are. So that's the latest with, I mean, big shakeup in the primary. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. And we've got a lot to get into today because we've got New Hampshire to preview. We got a whole bunch of stuff. So we're going to do that. But you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, watch the simulcast as well, the video component of the radio show. And lots of stuff to discuss. So that was Ron DeSantis in a video message yesterday. And he said it right there at the end. He signed a pledge. It's rare to see anybody in elected office who keeps their word. He signed a pledge. And he could have said, there's a number of things he could have done, honestly. But he went back to that and he said, and he recognized where the voters are. And it's a shame because not every Republican is doing that right now. Not every Republican has recognized that. And going into November, I don't know what's going to happen. But regardless of where you are in the primary, that was a class act. And I actually spoke with the governor for about 20 minutes yesterday. He called and one of the things I had said to him is that, because you guys know where I was in the primary, but I also think, and we're going to talk about this today, I also think that this is the last exit off the highway. And I'm going to tell you what that means in terms of every issue that you have ever read about or cared about or anything, the Supreme Court packing, taxation, foreign policy, all of it. But I made mention to him my concern for down ballot races. And I hope that the campaign, and we still have two people in this primary, but I hope that, you know, and if Trump is the eventual nominee, which it looks like he's going to be, I hope that the campaign realizes that going on a journey of retribution against candidates that may not have endorsed you in the primary is not the way to unite voters. And it's not the way to win, because it doesn't matter anything to win the White House if you lose the Senate and the House also. And so we've got to get together on this. And I raised that point, and, you know, he agreed, and he said, you know, he was concerned about down ballot races, but he was going to make sure to focus on that. But it was just very classy, I thought, especially considering everything that they had weathered. And yes, conservative media was against them. I mean, I could sit here and go into a whole bunch of stuff, but, even with all of that, and I do think that the media attention, particularly conservative media, because there are a lot of digital entities that were created in the past 8 years that had access to influence that had never been before within reach to them. And, you know, the lure of power is very attractive. And there are a lot of conservative entities that wanted to protect that money coming in. And so, yes, they were going to. They absolutely were. I know these people. I've known these people before they went to work at networks, before they started up their digital entities. I have been in this game since my 20s. I know every single one of these people. Most of them I know personally and have known them for 10 years or more. So when I tell you that there is an absolute bias in it, yes, there is. Why do you think I stay in Texas? So, that being said, voters also had a preference. Now, I do think it is a little premature to say that immediately after just, you know, you only have 115,000 people that voted. But that's irrelevant. I could sit here and say, well, not everybody had their voice. And only Iowa voted. And that's not enough people. You're telling me that 115,000 people get to make the determination for everybody else? What have I said from the get-go in the primary race? It's a delegate race. It's about delegates. That is how this process works. Love it or hate it. And whether or not you want it to change has no effect on it being changed right now. This is what it is. It is a delegate race. And this is what the delegates are going for. This is what, in these systems, what voters have chosen. Now, DeSantis was not going to come in second in New Hampshire, and he wasn't going to come in second in South Carolina either. And I had told you that's going to be the thing. Remember from the start of this, I was very straight with you guys. I said Nikki Haley has more of a shelf life here simply because South Carolina is her state and moderate voters in New Hampshire are more of a reflection of kind of her record. And she has a way better chance of going after DeSantis. DeSantis had to put up a very powerful second. And he put up a good second. And it was still low turnout. And there's an enthusiasm gap that we're going to have to address at some point. Because the RNC sure as hell isn't doing it. But it's a delegate race. So you can say, well, not everybody had their choice. It's unfair to say, oh, we don't do unfair in this. This is the delegate race. And he saw the writing on the wall, so you can too. Now, I say this as somebody who did not want the primary to turn out like this. But I also say this as someone who does not want Democrats packing the Supreme Court. I don't want to have half of my wealth stolen, seized unconstitutionally in the federal scheme of theft by the IRS via taxation every year. I don't want my money sent to Ukraine. I don't want my money spent on things like studying overweight lesbians. That was actually a study. Don't think it wasn't. Google it. When we have got open borders. All of these things, supremely important. And so this is what we have to consider. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I've never told you who to vote for. Even when I have, and I think out of my entire radio career, whenever I've been on radio with you, there are only two people that I liked, actually kind of thought, well, this could be a good deal, literally. And even then, I didn't tell you to go vote for him. Because in the Republican side of things and in the primary, I'm just not going to do that. And if you expect me to do that, I hate to disappoint you. You're new here. It's not going to happen. But I am going to tell you what's at stake if you don't. I will tell you what you have to look forward to if you don't. So we're going to bust all that down. But the governor dropping out. So he's look, this could be for those of you who are, and there are some people who are just heartbroken today. Can I be very, I just don't get emotional with stuff, and it's politics. For the love, come on, people. It is a political race. These are political races. Buck up. You're made of stronger stuff than this, right? Good heavens. You think the founders cried and took their ball and went home after they got into a fight at the article committees of correspondence or when they were sitting at King Street at the pub arguing over stuff? I mean, for crying out loud, Adams and Jefferson hated each other. And they worked for the common cause. Things were way nastier back then than they ever have been now. I know everyone thinks that politics are bad now. I think it was Adams that called Jefferson a hermaphrodite. I'm not joking. There are literal ads where he did that. Actually, find that old video. It was from Reason. It's like from years ago. They literally wrote the nastiest stuff about each other and they published it. I don't know why people are romanticizing history. It's always been a slap fight. Always. This is part of your American DNA. When did everybody get so damn sensitive? Now, there are certain people that I don't like and I think are absolute goblins. Now, that's for sure. I'm not going to name any of them, but you can probably guess who I think they are. But that aside, come on. I want to win more than I hate anybody. What I hate more than anything else in this world is not winning. I hate not winning. Gosh, is it as much as I hate the ATF and IRS? I don't know. Is it? I mean, I really hate not winning. I hate spiders too, and I don't even know what's worse. If I hate not winning more, if I hate that, I don't know. I know they serve a purpose. Don't email me because I'll print it out and shoot holes in it at the range. But that said, we're just buck up. All these damn drama. I see people arguing and flipping all over. This primary did not go. I'm not going to tell you to vote for, and I'm not going to tell you to unify either. I'm not going to. You're a big kid. Figure out if you want to save the country or not and how to do it, how to best do it. I'm just here to give you information that you can act on. That is my goal. This is not nanny radio or nanny TV. So that being said, it used to be way nastier, the editorials and the infighting. So 2028, that could be, for those who are heartbroken over that, just look ahead to 2028. Because I really do think he's going to run in 28. This is his 1976. Remember, Reagan lost the primary in 1976 to Gerald Ford. And then later on, he lived to fight another day politically and went to become president. Two terms. So just keep things in perspective. And I'll tell you this, too. And then we're going to, I got to play that out because that's a real... We always play this when it gets into election season. The other thing, too, is that there's a lot at stake and you need to be involved in your down ballot races. Complaining on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever is not the same thing as activism. It is not the same thing as getting involved in your community. I say this as someone who, even before I was on radio, was in the streets. That's how I literally got started. And even when I was on radio, on my own time and my own dime, I was driving and flying around the country because I wanted to win so badly, I was willing to spend my own money to do it. And I was middle class. But I believed in it that much. And I'm not saying, and I took my kids with me and it was homeschool lesson on the road. So I'm not saying you got to do that, but I'm just saying sitting online complaining is not the same thing as electioneering. It is not the same thing as canvassing. It is not the same thing as getting involved. It literally doesn't move the needle hardly at all. The only it just kind of does some stuff in the press, but it really doesn't move the needle. Getting out and meeting people moves the needle. Can we play this audio? Can we play that video? Do we got it? The reason video? We're looking for the reason video. We'll get it. It's hysterical because people don't believe me when I say this. It's an old video, but it's hysterical. So some of the stuff we got coming up, we got to talk about immigration because this is one thing, two issues that Republicans have got to get it together on. Immigration and border. And when I talk about immigration, I mean discussing immigration. We're going to deep dive into some of this. We're also going to get into the Veep stakes. We do have to have a conversation about that. We got to look at New Hampshire. And I'm warning you, the national polls are going to change. You got Democrats sitting on almost $200 million. Republicans are sitting on $9 million. The Republican Party is broke. The state parties are broke. Now is the time to figure out, we should have figured it out a little while ago. What is the RNC doing? Do they want to win? Because I'm not thinking they do. We have to have this discussion as well. So we're going to deep dive into all of these things here coming up, and you don't want to miss a single bit of it. You know, when you search for something on Netflix, what you get is only a fraction of what Netflix actually has. Netflix actually has more than something like 18,000 titles globally, but only 6,000 of those are available in the United States. So you're missing out on literally thousands of movies or television shows, anything episodic, unless you use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think that you're located. They have over 100 different different locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new programs no matter where you live. Now, this works with a lot of other streaming services too, like Max, BBC iPlayer, Hulu, things like that. So this is something that you should definitely consider. I mean, think about, what would you like to watch that maybe you can't access? I mean, there's some British shows that I would like to watch. There's, you know, some anime, there's some movies, all kinds of stuff. And also, I want to kind of hide where I am too, just because I'm always internally suspicious. So this is what ExpressVPN can come in clutch for. Also, it's super fast. I can stream everything in HD with no buffering. Works on any device. I can enjoy whatever I'm watching from my phone, laptop, tablet, TV, you name it. It just works. And ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security to keep you safe from hackers that want to take your info and sell it on the dark web. So stop missing out on great programming and get thousands of new shows with ExpressVPN. And we got them to give you guys an extra 3 months free when you use our special link, expressvpn.com/Dana. That's ExpressVPN.com/Dana to get 3 extra months completely free.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So do you guys remember Doug Burgum? He's the guy who's given everybody gift cards if they voted. And he was on stage for like a second in one of the primary debates. So he has announced dramatically, North Dakota governor. He's like, he's not going to seek re-election. He's going to leave his gubernatorial post at the end of his second term next December 14th. So he is not going to serve as governor anymore. And he did drop out of the presidential primary, but I actually don't remember when. He seemed like a nice dude. You know, he seemed like a nice enough guy. Let's see. This is nuts. A New York City bound flight was canceled. Imagine sitting on the plane, just looking out, and you see the wing, and you notice some bolts are missing. Well, that's what happened with this New York bound Virgin Atlantic flight. A passenger was, I mean, it was moments before they were going to take off, and a passenger looked over and spotted some bolts missing from the plane's wing. British traveler Phil Hardy was on board the flight. It was at the Manchester Airport in the UK, and he noticed 4 missing fasteners during the safety briefing, and he decided to alert the cabin crew. And he goes, I'm a good flyer. He goes, but, he goes, he thought it was best safe to mention it, and the engineers were promptly called to carry out air maintenance checks, and it was going to take off to go to JFK. And they ended up, I mean, they had to actually tinker with it and put them on. That's crazy. They said there was no impact to the safety, blah, 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 blah. They had a little bit of a delay, but still, that's kind of wild. Let's see. A pay-per-view Super Bowl may happen sooner than you think. This is what's being floated. Do you think that's, I think that's going to make people mad. I mean, with all of the advertising money they get in from that, and you're going to seriously think about doing a pay-per-view? It's like one of the most watched things ever. It's like, I think it was what, 115 million people turn into that, but that's what is being floated right now. We have a lot more on the way, including some trans issues too. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Nimi Skincare. You know, the one time when people don't get upset over mansplaining is when all these skincare companies started using dudes to try to sell women's skincare products. And then try to act like it was one and the same, and women should just stop complaining about it because, you know, they know what's best. Women have different needs from dudes, and women even have different needs from other women, depending on what stage they are in their lives. Nimi Skincare understands that, and any skincare company should. This is why they were created. And so with Nimi Skincare, first off, this is a company that uses USA ingredients, made in the USA ingredients. They're made in the USA. No parabens, none of those horrible, ridiculous, harsh, artificial synthetic chemicals. And they don't test on animals either. But they are all about making sure that you have what you need to have healthy skin. So they have introduced 2 new routines. Their Wake Up Right routine, where you can give your skin a morning boost of vitamin C and peptides. And then they have their bedtime moisturizing routine. This is great, especially when it's going to be like 7 degrees here in Texas, for example, because it's ultra hydrating. It's going to replenish your skin, keep you moisturized while you sleep, and it's packed with soothing, restorative ingredients. And your skin will thank you for this. And like I said, they share your values, but they also understand and celebrate that women are different and women need different things. Nimi Skincare products are 100% guaranteed. So take the guesswork out of your routine with Nimi Skincare. Visit NimiSkincare.com. That's NIMI Skincare.com, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Before we begin, I'd like to take time to congratulate Ron DeSantis and of course, a really terrific person who had gotten to know his wife, Casey, for having run a great campaign for president. He did. He ran a really good campaign, I will tell you. It's not easy. They think it's easy doing this stuff, right? It's not easy. But as you know, he left the campaign trail today at 3 p.m. And in so doing, he was very gracious and he endorsed me. So I appreciate it. I appreciate that. And I also look forward to working with Ron and everybody else to defeat Crooked Joe Biden. We will have to get him out. We have to get him out.
I feel like crooked is such a Victorian Dickinson term. Is there like, I still like President Daddy Showers McSniff's kids, but I think that's better. His crooked's just so vague. You know, it also is like, does he can't stand up straight? Like, what is it? That was the president, former president speaking yesterday, remarking. It was at an event in New Hampshire about the change up, the shake up in the new, in the Republican primary. And then there was this audio soundbite 5. This is an interview. What was this? This is an interview Nikki Haley was giving, and it aired yesterday evening. And I saw, okay, first up, I saw this clip circulating, and I had to actually go out and make sure this was real. Because I thought somebody is clowning. I legit thought somebody was clowning around. No. Take a listen.
If you want to know what it was like growing up, I was disqualified from a beauty pageant because I wasn't white or black, because they didn't know where to put me. So look, what? I know.
What?
The hardships, the pain.
Can we stop with the identity politics? First off, nobody believes you. Nobody. I don't believe this. No, literally nobody believes you. Yeah, nobody believes you. I mean, that's just didn't happen. It didn't happen. That's number one. Number two, can we stop with the identity politics? It's always the identity politics with her. Just because you claim you're say that you're on the right doesn't mean that it's more virtuous when you use the same tactics that the left uses. If you're using the same disingenuous stuff that they're using, just because you think that you differ from them on some policy issues, that doesn't make it more virtuous. It's still crummy. Okay, stop doing this. What is this with her? It's always with the identity politics. I'm a woman. Blah. I was a bright or black. Blah. I've seen pictures of her when she was in high school. And I went to school. Some of the girls that I went to school with who were Hispanic were she's whiter than they are. I just, the saying. It just, that seemed weird. I've never, when did she wasn't born in the 1800s. Come on. Nobody believes you. That's so dumb. When did that even come up? Why? What in the juicy small hell is that? Why did that even come up? No one. Nikki Haley, I was kicked out of a beauty pageant because I was in white or black. I just realized we missed a great opportunity to play that Michael Jackson song, Black or White. And then instead of coming in with Trump, coming in with Haley, you know, hindsight. But I just realized, do you believe her, Kane?
No, I don't believe her because I'm her age. I grew up in that era. Nobody cared about color when you were doing...
They cared less about it then than they do now.
Yes, even less then, even though people think the history of the United States is so racist. In reality, in the 80s, that is not how it was. Sorry.
Yeah, nobody cared. Nobody. That's one thing. I just remember growing up as a kid, nobody cared. And now everybody does. And then if you act like you, and then you're supposed to act like you don't care, but you're supposed to care and demonstrate that you care. Because if you act like you don't care, then you could also be a bigot. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like everything's weird. It's just however it can be weaponized to the advantage of your opposition. So I did. I looked online. I was like, what? Nobody believes this. I'm going to pull up my bookmark. When you look at Nikki Haley, you can actually find her high school photos and stuff. It pops up. I don't get it. I don't get it. Did she, what does it even mean? She looks like every other teenager. She legit looks like every other teenager. She doesn't, I don't know. It just is, it's just so bizarre to me. Like all her pictures since she's in high school, she has the giant onion blossom bangs. I mean, she did everything else that everybody else did. She has the giant 80s hair. As all of it. You know the onion blossom bangs?
Oh, yeah.
So I was coming up in school, right? Sadly, right when that was going out of vogue. And I say sadly because I could have rocked it better than anyone. I have the thickest, coarsest hair on God's green. Well, for a person like me on God's green earth, I have crazy thick hair. It's insane. And my youngest son has received my hair in the genetics lottery. And it's basically like human turf. It's AstroTurf on his head. It's so thick. You could wipe your boots on it. But the whole trend of doing that, I could have made my hair get so big. Remember how the women did, my mom had what they called hair cobras, or what I call hair cobras. It's like when the hair hoods out around the ear. You know that, Kane?
Yeah.
Like they would tease it and then it would, my kids are like, what? I have to show them pictures. I remember looking at my mom's yearbook and thinking, who does a beehive? What in the boomer world is that? And now Gen Z is looking at, you know, Gen X and photos and going, what is this? What is this? So right when I was going into high school was when the Kate Moss era kicked off and everyone was supposed to have flat, stringy, straight hair. And I was heartbroken because I had the hair that could have been amazing, like just giant, you know. But that's what the women did. They did the giant. It looked like a Christmas bow on the top front of their head, the bangs. And then they would tease it up like a helmet. And then they would do the, I'm going to see if I can find it. They do the things around the ears, the cones around the ears, almost like a satellite dish around the ears. It was pretty impressive. I mean, here, I'm going to drop this in Slack so the guys can get an idea of what we're talking about, because this is pretty classic. Now, there was the hair crimping and all of that stuff, but most everybody did the hairstyle that I just dropped in Slack that Juan's going to show up on the simulcast. Kane's dying right now. But you know, Kane, you're like, that was the hairstyle.
Literally, that's high school for me.
The onion blossom bangs, hair with the hoods, right? Onion blossom bangs, hair with the hood. That's exactly it. So it was almost like a saddle. I don't know who this sweet girl is, but this was what I'm talking about. Onion blossom bangs, and then you would hood out your hair around the ears. She had that kind of hairstyle too. She did all this stuff. She looked like Nikki Haley, looked like every other American teenager. I haven't found a crimped photo of her hair, but you know, but everybody did that. That's what everybody did. That was the thing. And you can see in the photo, this is a yearbook photo that Juan's showing on the simulcast. She's got the onion blossom bangs, hair with the hood. I mean, she's got the whole thing. Just like every other American teenager. She's got the 80s Cosby-esque dress where there's like some sort of graphic or some artistic thing. And then the belt, you know. She looked like every other American teenager. Every other one. A little fancier even. What is this? Oh, I had to go out because nobody believes you. Gosh, the
Those
hair.
Those are the days where people sprayed their hair so stiff that it would take hurricane strength winds to mess your hair up.
I don't know what it was, but like teenagers in the 80s, I was a 90s teen. Teenagers in the 80s, I don't know what problems you all had with the wind, but you declared war on the wind. With the windbreakers and then all of the hairspray. And I remember watching my cousins get ready to go out. Like they would go to, they'd go out to like football games and I'd watch them do their hair and they would take their bangs and they'd hold them out and then they would do one roll where they curled it under. Then they did another roll, curl it under. And you probably needed to get five or six to really tease it up and then spray it and make it really big. And my family members, their hair was so big in their yearbook photos that the yearbook photo, it actually cropped their hair out of the frame. It wouldn't even, their whole head wouldn't even fit in the frame. It was that insane. Now, Lorraine says that she's younger than Nikki Haley. And she says, Nikki's only 52. She's like, no one cared about color. And she says, some of my best friends were from Nepal. And she's on the East Coast. I mean, it's just, why do you lie about this stuff? Who's going to be moved by that? Who's going to sit here and go, you know what? I didn't like Nikki's neocon foreign policy where she wants to send all our money to Ukraine and start wars everywhere. But she said that she was kicked out of a beauty pageant because she wasn't black or white. I'm going to vote for her. These are like those cutscenes from Mean Girls when they're like, Regina George was wearing camo pants and so I got camo pants. It's like the same thing, but with like politics and voting. Nikki Haley said that she was kicked out of a beauty pageant and now I like her. That's so dumb. Can we... Why is it so stupid? Why can't you just be like, look, I was a governor and here's my record. Why do you gotta, but I'm a woman, like a real one with a vagina, and I was kicked out of a beauty pageant. And do you see all those stories that were coming out about her? I don't know if I believe them. I heard stuff during the primary and she was running for governor, but I always just assumed, you know, I'm like, I don't know, it's just nasty politics. I don't know if there's truth to them. I don't care, because I don't think the American people care anymore. You can go out there and hoe it up, and I'm not saying that that's what happened here, but I'm saying that you could go out and do whatever. You could probably go out and club a baby seal anymore, and it doesn't matter. What, are you all right over there?
Yeah.
It's gonna get wilder as the week goes on, man.
I know.
Just, you know,
it's only Monday.
Just buckle up. You got the front row seat on the Screaming Eagle, and it may stay on the track. We don't know. We'll just see, right? So some of the other things that we're going to be hitting here coming up, because we got to get into the Veep stakes. Everyone keeps saying Kristi Noem. It's not going to happen. They've got 3 electoral votes. It's not going to happen. You can get all the extensions you want. You can give yourself a makeover to get rid of your John and Kate plus 8 look. But you know what? Ain't going to happen. Maybe a cabinet position. For 3 electoral votes, not going to happen. But I will tell you, coming up, who I think it would benefit to be, that it would be kind of smart. Because you can't just think about now, you got to think about 28 as well. I mean, if Republicans kind of want to extricate their heads from their backsides for 5 seconds and look into the future. But, you know, we'll have that discussion. We're also going to get into how a dude won a women's golf tournament that was literally created to elevate women's golf. I take some balls. All right, we got a lot to hit as we get going. I did. It's Monday, but a Friday feel. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile are super proud to bring you this very, very important segment of professional lady radio here. If you would like to save money on your cell phone bill, first off, you're broke probably, like everybody else out in God's green earth, because Bidenomics has made everybody broke. Yay! No one can afford anything butter, $7 a box, and that's just the basic butter. But if you want to save money on your cell phone bill, and you also don't want to fund the things that are making you broke, well, then you need to be switching to Patriot Mobile today. This is like one of the most important things that you can do. Consider how much you use your cell phone. I don't know anybody that has a landline anymore. Everybody has cell phones. And now you can make the switch. You can have dependable nationwide coverage on all 3 major networks. You get the best service in your area without funding the left. You're working with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch. And you can keep your number or in your phone, or you can upgrade, get everything new. New year, new you stuff. Doesn't matter. The choice is yours. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana and make sure to use code Dana, because you're going to get free activation when you do. You can also call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana for that free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I tell every young man who's telling me, I'm thinking of getting married or somebody, I said, look, you have any advice? They said, yeah, pick a family with 5 sisters or more. And they look at me, what the hell's that all about? I said, it's really simple. That way, one of them always loves you, not the same one. You always have somebody on your side.
Hunter says what?
Yeah, what is that? Do you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but over the weekend, I think it was, or maybe it was like Friday evening, Jill Biden spoke at Hunter High School. She literally had to stand behind a podium that said Hunter High School underneath it. You can't make this up. That's real. That actually happened. It actually happened. She had to stand by. You, who was the advance team on this? Yeah, it was at Hunter High. It literally says all the shots just literally show her. All the shots just literally show her as standing by Hunter High. And then there's the sign that says Hunter High, and then she's behind it. That's what all of the shots show. I mean, you can't make this up. Hunter Biden's older than Nikki Haley.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. Baby Hunter?
Baby infant, sweet newborn, older? Swaddled Hunter is older than Nikki Haley.
Wow.
But he's an infant.
He is.
Can't talk about the president's baby infant son. I'm just trying to get over this optic. Legit spoke at it. Who was the advance team for this? I want to save this image forever. I'm going to use it. Guys, I'm going to apologize to our newsletter subscribers right now. I'm not going to be able to not use this as like the lead image for a couple of things, maybe several days in a row. Because it's you can't write this. This is like some Arrested Development stuff. This is hysterical. It's the funniest thing. And I got the impression, too, that she was just like, I can't believe the sign says Hunter High. Like, right, giant above it, and then school is underneath it. So it just happens to fall exactly where the camera would split the sign. And so it's just Hunter High. Yeah, he is, Panama Red. Hunter High. Golly.
Hunter real high.
It's just... Meanwhile, Hunter Biden's like, that's a school for me and crack? What? But that's that actually happened. That's pretty. So the couple of things. We got the student loan stuff that we're going to jump into, because this is like one of the things that's going to be on deck that you got to consider. We got to talk about all of the stuff that's on deck coming up for 2024, because you don't want to lose the power of the purse. But yet the House is in peril. The Republican Party is broke. We need to discuss the difference in money banked with Democrats and Republicans. It's insane. Also, Biden's kind of struggling in Michigan. I was looking at this interesting piece from the Wall Street Journal, because anywhere where immigration is important, he's kind of struggling, which is probably why they immediately decided to counter and put out their first attack ad of the general season about abortion. You knew that was coming. So we're going to discuss that. Then we're also going to hit this. A trans golfer, so a dude who wants to be a woman, entered into this golf tournament that was literally set up to elevate women's golf, and he won. And prompting a lot of completely understandable outrage from the female participants. We're going to discuss that and more coming up moments away. Stick with us. Help bringing you free radio. It's our friends over at Hillsdale College. So Hillsdale is a great academic institution, and they're all about the pursuit of education and liberty. And the cool thing with Hillsdale is that they you don't have to go to Hillsdale College to take advantage of what they have to offer. They've been producing 60-second radio spots called Constitution Minutes. These are short, clear lessons on the principles of liberty. And you can also reserve a free pocket constitution at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Now, Hillsdale is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. They were founded in 1844, and they're about merit and character, not anything else. So to hear a Constitution Minute yourself and reserve a copy of your pocket Constitution for free, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
If you look recently, there have been multiple things. I mean, he claimed that Joe Biden was going to get us into World War II. I'm assuming he meant World War III. He said that he ran against President Obama. He never ran against President Obama. He says that I'm the one that kept security from the Capitol on January 6th. I was nowhere near the Capitol on January 6th. But Margaret, you don't be surprised if you have someone that's 80 in office.
Well, I think, please tell me, I don't want to have to hear the slap fighting, like, until Super Tuesday in March. I'm going to jump off my roof. So she's saying that there was Nikki Haley saying that Trump has a mental stability issue. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you this illustrious Monday. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch the video component of the radio program as well. Channel 347 DirecTV and also Facebook and YouTube. I don't know if she's worried. So in New Hampshire, because she's trying to make a good showing in New Hampshire. And as it is right now, the averages, because she was a little competitive with him, but I think he got a little bit of a DeSantis getting out benefited Trump more than it did Haley. And I think he got a little bit of a bump looking at some of the polling. He is plus 17 over Haley right now. I honestly don't know in New Hampshire how she continues. I think she'll probably try to go to South Carolina because it's her home state. But I don't know how she continues if she is not within 10. Because at what point, you know, you're not running to be within 10 points of someone or within 5 points of someone. You're running to best that person. And so, I mean, as it is right now, he's plus 17 and a half. And I think the margin of error on most of these surveys is like give or take 3 points. So that's like well beyond any kind of margin of error. And that's, I mean, that's where they stand right now going into New Hampshire. So I just really don't see how that's going. I just don't see it. I just really just don't see that. And looking at South Carolina, I mean, it's kind of the Emerson. I haven't broken down the Emerson polling, and that was like the last one that came out of South Carolina. But there's actually kind of an absence of, some really reliable polling coming out of South Carolina. But I think he's like the last one, the Emerson one that was taken right at the beginning of the month has him a plus 29. Now he was 52 over Haley's 21 is the average. So she's looking at coming in second in South Carolina. Going into Super Tuesday, it gets crazier. So I don't see how she goes forward. I don't. Now, I will say, and I'm warning people about this, she is coming through Texas because it's a delegate race and it's a race of, you know, who can last the longest going through this. And she's got a number of fundraisers scheduled all the way from, you know, the Woodlands, which is outside of Houston, going in through Austin. She's having some big fundraising dinners with some Bush folks and some Rove people. That's just fact. That's already, the invites were already sent out. So she's having those fundraisers, and it is that's some establishment stuff. That's some big establishment stuff. So I want to caution people. She's pulling in from a lot from the left, and I a friend of mine was making this point, and I kind of disagree with what he was saying because his argument was, and he's kind of a Haley person. I don't know, but he is. And, you know, his point was that, well, you know, that just shows that she can pull from the left. You know, Reagan built his, he won with Reagan Democrats. That's how he was able to win when he ran for the White House. He was able to win with Reagan Democrats. But that there's a little bit more at stake here. I mean, there actually has been an effort to get people to register Democrats as Republicans to try to boost her against Trump. But I think the media wants Trump. The media desperately wants him. So I don't think that it hurts them more if Haley's there. So I think it's just establishment, more establishment. Although Trump's got a lot of establishment people too with him. I mean, he's got some former Bush people that work with him. But ultimately, I think that it's the old school Bush. And I just say that as like the avatar, not as the actual naming of people involved in it, but that whole sphere of influence. Those are the people that are really pushing her. And I just don't see a path for her. And I think that the establishment does want to keep her on life support, and they do want to make sure that she's got money. And she's raising money. She's still raising money. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't think she's going to do anything after New Hampshire. New Hampshire's tomorrow. I think she'll, if anything changes, she'll do it after South Carolina. I think she's at least going to go to her home state. I would be shocked if she didn't. But I think that as long as she has some delegates in the bank, which she does, and then now with DeSantis dropping out, they get proportionally split of his delegates in Iowa, then she's got the money coming in. I mean, she's going to be able to run ads. She's going to be able to do what she needs to do to keep her ground operations running. She could stay in it and just be a thorn in his side. Now, you know, whether that, I mean, that you could say that that helps Democrats, but she's, you know, but she's pulling from Democrats. She's pulling from Democrats, but those people aren't going to be Republican voters going into the midterms or going into general election. They're not going to be. I do think that there are some people who are so against anyone at the top of the ticket, though, that they like her. I've seen a lot of people say that. I've seen a lot of people say that they like RFK. And this is what I don't understand. And I say this as someone who liked DeSantis in the primary. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I am going to question the principles of people who say, oh, well, I was hardcore for DeSantis. He's, you know, and look, I like DeSantis, too. I hope he runs in 2028. I think he's the America's future. But I don't understand the mindset of people who are like, well, I really like DeSantis, and if he's not going to be on the ticket, then I'm going to vote for RFK. I can't tell you the number of people I actually know who have said that, and my jaw hit the floor. And I kind of got into it with somebody right before I came on air. I was a friend who works in the media who is texting me, and you know, he was saying, well, I think I'm just going to have to pull the lever for RFK. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're a limited government constitutionalist, correct? Yes, but that's not what. No. Hold up. So you love and want to hold fast to your principles to the point that you're willing to vote for a climate change supporting anti-gun guy just because you agree with him on one thing, which is the COVID quote unquote vax. That one coronavirus vaccine, that's going to be enough to get you to sacrifice your Second Amendment support and all of the stuff with ESG and climate change with that, which that dude has helped to push. And you're going to tell me that you're a limited government constitutionalist? I don't buy it. I think if it's that easy to switch, then maybe you didn't hold some of those principles as closely as you thought you did. I'm not going to tell you to vote for it, but I'm going to tell you how I look at it. That's just what. You know, and I told my friend, I said, you know, maybe I won't invite you to go to the range again. I didn't realize you were so anti-gun because you're so willing to flip. And then he's like, yeah, well, Trump will. What is that? Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The red flag stuff and the bump stock ban. And he wanted to raise the age to 21. All things with which I disagreed with. This guy, though, RFK, I will say, actually, I mean, I'm like, it's the same thing. So but how is it that you abhor it in Trump, but you're going to vote for RFK Jr.? If you dislike it in him, why would you vote? Why would you do that? Do you see how that does not make any sense at all? So I don't know. I don't get that position. I just don't get it. Now I'm not going to tell you what to do, because that's not my job. That's a candidate's job to win your vote. Not my job to tell you who to vote for. But that being said, you know, Democrats, that imagine 4 years, we could lose the House. We're not going to retake Senate. We could lose the House. And then what's going to happen to Supreme Court? They're going to festoon it with progressive justices like the Charlie Brown gang in that little Christmas tree. And Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, that special. You know they will. They're going to pack the court. And by pack the court, meaning they were mad that they lost elections and didn't get to nominate. And so now they just want to stack it with as many justices as possible. Oh, that'll happen. Joe Biden's already been running his attack ads as well. Do we have that one that he ran? It's the abortion one. I dropped it in Slack. It's the, I dropped it in Slack a little earlier, I believe. He launched his new attack ad. And it's about abortion. And it's kind of wild. I put it in Slack. It's they talk about, do you remember the woman who in Texas, she said that she had to leave the state of Texas because she had to get health care and it was getting into her abortion? There was Lorraine wrote a really good piece about it that's up at my chapter and verse up at Substack. Because there's a lot of questions. Like the lady went to a very, you know, pro-abortion activist doctor, and it just, you know, I mean, it's a sad story that I think became politically exploitative. And they decided they made an attack ad on it. And they went after Texas. And this is just part of this attack ad. Expect this in all of the battleground states. This is what they're one of the things they're going to be doing. Listen.
I'm an OBGYN in Texas and a mother of three wonderful children. Having this beautiful, messy, chaotic, but wonderful family, it's the joy of my life. I never thought that I would need an abortion for a planned pregnancy, but I did. 2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. At a routine ultrasound,
so
I learned that the fetus would have...
They are going through this ad. This is kind of the same thing that they did with the Kate Cox story. And that's Lorraine. I'm going to actually link this in the newsletter that I send out with all the prep, because just for just kind of a refresher on this, this is one of the things that they're going to use and they're going to target. Now, Democrats are saying that their message on this is effective, and they think that this is one of the things that Republican voters are weak on, because when you get a big tent and you get a lot of people that are very disillusioned with the economic policies of the Democrat Party, there's certain things that they don't actually agree on with Republicans. And some of those issues might be abortion. Now, it's not to say that maybe they're I think the abortion needs to even be redefined, because what Democrats want is abortion on demand up till the moment of birth for use as birth control. That is not a lie. The bill that was in the Senate before the Georgia, or right after the Georgia special election, right when all that was happening, you had Raphael Warnock was one of the many, many co-sponsors. And towards the end, pretty much every single Democrat in the Senate had co-signed this as they co-sponsored this bill. And it was removing the Hyde Amendment, if you believe that money isn't fungible, removing the Hyde Amendment and allowing taxpayer funding of abortion. And it also was going to allow it up till the moment of birth. Now, these are people who do not subscribe to that. These are people who maybe they don't want it after 15 weeks or maybe, and you got to start somewhere and you got to baby step it back, because if you go whole hog, you're not going to win. It's about winning, even if it's incrementally, and then you build on that. And because Republicans haven't been able to figure out how in the world to talk about it, Democrats are able to use that issue as a way to drive a wedge and get those voters back to them. And that's exactly what they're doing here. And where's the RNC? Nowhere. We got more to come. Because the immigration issue is the next issue. You think, I want to tell you, you think that immigration is an issue that's hurting Democrats? They've not even begun in the general, guys. I'm warning you now, they haven't even started. That's the worst mistake Republicans always do, is they don't expect and they don't plan for stuff like this. We're going to talk about this because that message has to change as well. No, our friends over at Kel-Tec, I'm just going to tell you, if you don't have this gun in your EDC rotation, then there's something wrong with you. I'm not going to be friendly about it today. I heartily believe that you are your own first responder, and Kel-Tec has ingenious stuff that they come up with, and they just make it so much easier to do that. So the P15 is awesome, because this is the literal lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market. I will tell you now that I have literally almost every dang 9mm that's ever been made. And this one, 14 ounces unloaded, 15 plus one round, standard capacity, Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear. And it comes in two versions. You have the polymer version and the metal version. Polymer is awesome. Gator grip texture, really easy, accurate handling. The metal version is just sweet looking. This is like a 60s era, Sean Connery era James Bond gun. I mean, it has these beautiful classic wood grips, got a nice, comfortable feel, really looks vintage, great trigger, same excellent capacity, you know, same thing. And so this should be definitely in your EDC rotation. For public safety and self-defense, make the P15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at keltecweapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, this is a crazy story. Missing Navy SEALs are now considered dead after they were lost in a raid of a ship with Iranian weapons. It was a 10-day search to rescue two Navy SEALs lost in the Arabian Sea during a mission to board the ship and confiscate Iranian-made weapons. It's ended. The sailors are now considered deceased, according to the U.S. military in a statement Sunday. CENTCOM said that the search had now been changed to a recovery effort. The SEALs' names have not been released because family notifications continue. And ships and aircraft, they said, from U.S., Japan, Spain, continuously search more than 21,000 square miles. So maybe Saudi Arabia can buck up and maybe, I don't know, maybe help patrol their own backyard, since we're actually spending American lives doing it. Now, I understand we had American ships that were being attacked. So yes, it was American interest and American ships were being attacked. This is like the Barbary pirates all over again. However, I don't want to be a proxy or an attack dog for Saudi Arabia against Iran. So I want to keep that in mind as well. All right. So moving on here, this. Oh, boy. Well, you wanted a sanctuary city. I just am sorry, but I don't feel at all bad for you. This is what you wanted. East Village, our East Village people are mad. And they said that all of the illegal immigrants, they've turned their neighborhood into a giant toilet because they said everything, they are pooping in the park, cups of urine are left on doorsteps. They said that the Parks Department removed a bunch of porta potties from the park. They said that the toilets were so disgusting and dirty that workers gave up on maintaining them. And like for some, one street cleaner who gave his name said, quote, there was a cup of what I thought was somebody's discarded hot chocolate. And it turned out to not be hot chocolate. That's what he literally said. I mean, just my gosh. But they said that it's just horrible. But you know what? You wanted this. You wanted a sanctuary city. So enjoy, because this is what you get. Elections have consequences, and so do choices. And Northwest Indiana had 21 inches of snow, and everything else is in a deep freeze. You got that snowstorm, the ice storm moving in still. We have more in store, because wait until you hear what you got to be an expert in to talk about books. Listen.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washer City's working together to help small business install rooftop solar panels, electric buses, city fleets of all electric buses. Planning, I just met with a lovely woman who knows a little about the environment. Going to plant thousands of trees in her city, a million total. It's going to change, protect against extreme heat and so much more.
Great, you're going to plant some trees. Whoopity-doo-dah. So exciting. Burp, burp, burp. I tell you what, welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. That is Joe Biden talking about, what is it, more of our money going into something. I mean, that's always what it is. He's saying that they're going to, it's going to be the small businesses. When they say that we're working to help them install solar panels and electric buses, what, that's tax dollars. That's like using people's tax dollars to do. That's what that is. Yes.
And it's completely avoiding the free market.
Oh, completely. No competition, no nothing. That's exactly what I said. This is the stuff that's like at stake. These are all the things that are coming up that are at stake with us. And I'm just, you know, I just shake my head with some of this stuff. Because this, like with energy, the ESG, everything else, all the green stuff, all of this is coming into play here in terms of policy 2024 and after. I mean, I'm very nervous about the House. I'm very nervous about a lot of down ballot races. And, you know, we've been talking about 2024. We've got New Hampshire that's tomorrow and have been discussing 2024. I don't know what the RNC is doing to get things together. I just don't. I know they tweet a lot. Twitter doesn't, or X doesn't really, that is, social media in that regard does not really move the needle. If it did, you would have Gen Z out voting in droves. There are a lot of groups that base the majority of their movement digitally, and they don't get people elected in the Republican Party. They don't get Republicans elected. If the digital sphere was as influential digitally or in the meat space as it is digitally, AOC would have a lot more pull in Congress instead of kind of being a clown. Do you see what I'm saying? There's the digital world and the real world. And the real world still requires real world solutions and real world practices and real world actions. And the digital, just simply limiting it to bitching and moaning digitally doesn't cut it. And this situation with, because it's not just energy, there's a number of issues that Republicans have got to get better talking about going into midterms. And this is what I want to put out to you. I showed you, I'm not going to play that whole ad. The ad that I guess it's the first official attack ad from the Biden campaign for the general election, and they're going on abortion. And Republicans are not great at messaging on abortion, and there's this huge divide in the right in terms of the best way to achieve pro-life policies. And I have friends who are activists. This is their main issue. And I have them on both sides of this divide. So there's, you know, group A, which thinks that you need to go full on, whole hog. It needs to be immediate and there's not going to be any compromise, no quarter. It has to be full on what we want as a policy or everybody's a rhino and it's a failure. And then we have the people which are wanting to move incrementally and they're not wanting, they're not moving as fast as group B is not moving as fast as group A would like. And group A is, some of them think that group B, they're kind of hedging and hemming and hawing because they think that maybe they're not fully committed to the cause as, you know, group A is. And I don't know what's in these people's hearts, but I do think that you're not going to do anything if not incrementally. I do think it has to be an incremental thing, especially when you look at where Americans pull on it. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't want a full-on pro-life issue. No, it means you're working towards it. It doesn't mean that you're going to abandon the cause or that you're going to take your ball and go home if you can't get the whole thing or nothing immediately. And so, but here's the problem that's being created because of this divide. When you, with any kind of big tent, or let's stop saying big tent, let's start saying with any kind of coalition, it's the 80-20 rule. Reagan had always said, my 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. And people on the right do not know how to live by this law. They have no idea how to do this still. This is why Democrats are successful. And it doesn't mean that the disagreements on the 20% are sidelined. It's just, we're going to fight those when we can, when it's, when we are not trying to, when we're not, when we're trying to stave off wins on the 80% or stave off losses on the 80%. We're going to fight the 20%. And they just know how to strategize around that better, whereas the right doesn't. And the right loves to have all their slap fights publicly to be used against them because we're stupid. So we are. I mean, in terms of strategy, I don't run the RNC GOP stuff. That's, you know, party people. So the issue then becomes you have this big coalition. You have people who agree on 80% of things. What are the 80%? The economy, right? Taxation right now, immigration, energy, a lot of the CRT stuff, all of that, the lockdowns, the quote unquote vaccines, all of that, that goes into the 80% pile. Then you got the 20% stuff. And abortion, because there are varying levels of where people fall on it, I would put that in the 20%. That's not to downgrade it or diminish it as an important issue, but it's to accurately reflect where people in the coalition on the right, not just the Republican Party, not just conservatives, but people you need to actually elect a Republican leader where they fall on that issue. It goes in the 20%. And this is what Democrats are doing. They are looking at all of the issues that the coalition disagrees on, and they are going to start churning out attack ads on every one of those issues. And abortion is one of them. They had a little success in Wisconsin because the GOP, A, didn't know how to fight, and B, didn't know how to message there. And it's not that Republicans can't fight or can't message. It's just that they are not very good, and not every state is the same. Not every state's leaders and not every state's message makers are the same. Case in point, look at Florida. Florida was a swing state. I'll say it again. Florida was a swing state. Everyone likes to erase all of the history before DeSantis got in office and act like Florida was a reliable red state. I'll tell you what, it wasn't. I remember distinctly 45 minutes into election night in 2012, and I'm doing election night coverage, and I'm watching the results from Florida come in, and I knew the moment that it came in with a couple of different districts that the whole race was lost. Romney had lost. I knew it because Florida was a swing state. Florida has gone Democrat before. Florida has been purple, and it has not gone reliably red until this very last election when it went not just red, it went red by a landslide. They were registering more Republican voters than Democrats. The Hispanic community, you had gays and lesbians in Miami Beach that were voting for Republicans because everyone was agreeing on the 80%, and the messaging coming out of the Republican Party in the state of Florida was focusing on the 80%. Not to diminish the 20%, not to say that someone's interest in any of the 20% issues were unimportant, or not to say that any of those issues only should represent 20% of, you know, the public consciousness. But this is about strategy, and it is about winning. And if you want to win for your issue, then you've got to be a little bit more Machiavellian about strategizing on how to win some of these seats. And that's what they did, and they won. And the difference between, you know, the court battle in Wisconsin where abortion was a feature and in Florida, Florida Republicans did not allow Democrats to shape the messaging. And by the RNC not getting ahead of this, the GOP not getting ahead of this, they're trying to recreate that here nationally. So the first attack ad coming out is one on abortion. And they're going to try to drive these issues on the 20%. and separate this coalition on the right. And if the GOP can't counter it, the Democrats will be successful. I don't know what the RNC and GOP are doing. Now, going into this, I'll be damned. I'm tired of hearing about legal struggles from a can. I don't want to hear about Trump's legal struggles. I get it. There's a witch hunt going on. I think that the New York case is stupid. The Doc case in Mar-a-Lago is a little crazy. I get that there's a whole other separate issue that has to be separated from the candidate so that you can see what big government looks like. And the reason why you got to separate that from the candidate is because you have to distill it down to make it look like it can affect every single voter. Voters are going to disassociate themselves from it after a certain point if they think it only affects Trump. You have to tell people how this affects them, how it could affect them, and the potentials that this has to trickle down all the way to their dining room table. Where's the GOP and RNC on that? On that messaging? Nowhere. No, they're allowing Democrats to steamroll over everybody with these issues. And this is their first attack ad. And no response from the RNC or GOP on it. On immigration, Republicans are crap at talking immigration. They're horrible at it. I was at an event over the weekend. It was a fundraising event for a conservative candidate in House District 26. And this is one of those districts where we have a reliably conservative candidate. And again, I don't want to see vengeance campaigns against people who didn't endorse any kind of front runner, because you'll cost us districts and cost us seats in a time when we're already up to lose the House and we need every seat possible. There's a guy who came in from out of state. He's from New York. He just moved into the area, hadn't lived in there, has been there maybe for a year. And he's getting his father-in-law is a friend, but it's a well-known commentator. And is bankrolling entirely the PAC that's funding this guy's campaign. And they can't talk about immigration. Made a bunch of Hispanic Americans mad at an event where he was saying, well, we can't allow anybody to come in at all. And just closing it down. Here's why Republicans got to get smarter about this. And this is why I like the candidate I'm talking about is John Huffman in the House District 26. Because I think that people have got to be smart when they talk about immigration. You can't just shut everything down. Here's what is so unbelievably awesome about America. I've said this a million times and you've heard me say it. You can't go to France and be French. You can't go to Italy and be Italian. But you can be from anywhere. You can be from anywhere. You can be like Juan, our associate producer from The First. He's the exec producer from The First. He works as an associate producer on the radio show. He's from Puerto Rico and he's American. He wants to be free. That's the uniting factor with all of this. I have friends that have immigrated from Spain. I have friends that have immigrated from Taiwan. I have friends that have immigrated from South Korea. I have friends that have immigrated even from the UK. And they're American because there is one identifying factor that unites everyone. And this is why tyrants are terrified, because it's freedom. Do you want to be free? That is our only identity. And it's really hard to be a communist against something like that. It's really hard to be a tyrant and exercise a fist of control over people when that is their identity. That's why CRT is the big thing being promoted, because it divides everything. And so when you look at people coming into the country, I'm all for merit. It has to be merit. We have every sovereign right to determine how many people we allow to come in and merit qualifications to come in. We do not have enough people in the United States going into STEM. We are not filing and getting patents at the same rate as other countries. China's outpacing us 3-1. When they're not stealing ours and refiling it. These are terrifying things. We're outsourcing everything to India. I had a conversation with someone about digital interruption because of so much digital information and the source of so many things being stored in India. We are not doing enough to be self-sustaining here at home. And one of the reasons I bring up, you know, the melting pot phrase, which everyone apparently became out of vogue because it reminds everyone that our common identity is freedom, is because that's America. American identity is strong people who can make money, who can take care of themselves, and who want to be free. I want people like that, because people like that have families and they raise more people like that. And they vote the way I do. And I want that. I don't want people that are coming across the border sneaking over or being shepherded in by cartels, and then they come in and they get on government entitlements, and then they are paid basically and bought off by Democrat Party to vote for the same kind of Democrat parties that created the country from where they're coming. There's a big difference. I'm not the only person saying this. Hispanic Americans are saying this all along the border towns. Democrats don't want to talk to them because they think everyone else is racist, but they want to shut out brown voices who vote conservative because they're conservative. This is what Republicans got to get a handle on. They don't know how to adequately talk about this. And you can't just throw out stupid red meat stuff that you read, that you heard somebody say on TikTok, and then you think you're going to repurpose that for a campaign talking point. Oh my gosh, stop. They've got to get smarter about talking about this. Otherwise, this is going to be one of those issues that you'll see an attack at about next, and you'll watch Democrats turn an issue that Republicans should be winning on into a win for them.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so this is, again, Florida listener Amber. It's from Channel 8 News, WFLA. This one's probably, I'm just going to say, maybe we'll probably take the cake this week. A Polk County man hands over his license covered in meth during a traffic stop. Yeah. A Lake Wales man turned a traffic stop into a drug arrest on Sunday. Robert Brush, 46, was pulled over by a deputy for a minor traffic infraction near Watkins Road around 6 p.m. Brush handed his driver's license to the deputy, which was covered in a, quote, white powdery substance, according to the PCSO, who said the powder tested positive for methamphetamine. They said, amazingly, it's not the first time someone has handed over their license covered with an illegal substance. A nearby Lake Hamilton canine was called to the area. The dog indicated there were drugs in the vehicle. Deputies searched the vehicle. They found a baggie underneath the driver's seat holding 14 grams of meth, as well as a bag with 2 grams inside. Brush was arrested and booked into the Polk County Jail. So, hands his license covered in meth. A basic traffic stop. And he gets... I don't even know. Let's see. A Florida woman gets 2 DUIs in 2 weeks. The second one she got after she hit a house. Oh. Yeah, she's...
Jumped right out in front of her.
Yeah, the house dead. Kimberly Ann Wells, 51, was arrested on the first DUI charge. She had a gray Hyundai. Hyundai? Is it Hyundai?
Hyundai.
She had a gray Hyundai. She went to a Winn-Dixie, and she had a damaged wheel well. She went to the liquor store drunk to buy more alcohol. Pinellas County Sheriff's Office deputy arrived. She tried to pull out of her parking space. The deputy said she was so intoxicated that she couldn't even perform her sobriety test. And she was arrested, released on $500 bail. A week later, the second arrest occurs, or a week later. Second arrest occurs. She drove her car, her Hyundai, into a house. And again, St. Petersburg police responded. They said she was super drunky drunk. She tried to perform her sobriety test, really couldn't. She got charged with DUI. She's being held in Pinellas County Jail. $15,000 bond. So what in the world? A man impersonating an Orlando officer was arrested following a suspicious incident. They're going to catch you, you know. It's going to happen. Yeah, they arrested him Thursday, 49-year-old Mark Bosks. He flashed a fake police badge and tried to search somebody. The investigation is ongoing. Why do people do this? Third hour on the way. Stephen Neese is going to join us later. Stick with us.
Okay. Well, who is the main character? What's the name of the main character in All Boys Aren't Blue?
You're asking me right now.
You just gave me very specific information about this book, so you're presenting yourself as somebody expert.
It's the gentleman.
Who's the main character in the book?
The main character is the author.
What's his name?
George, I believe, is his first name.
Because you're giving me very specific information that is.
You're asking me to remember the name of an author.
You
the
just
name
remembered
of the author
very specific
doesn't joy.
Here's my
We're
question.
We're talking about
Here's
track. You didn't answer my question.
No. I'm going to answer
Great.
Your question.
Great. I would love to hear that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm interviewing you, and you're not interviewing me. So let's just make sure it's a conversation. Okay.
Great.
So what I'm saying to you is that as you are not an expert in this book,
I don't have to be an expert to know that dildos aren't appropriate for public school. I mean, come on, let's get real.
This book is a full context story.
She's not wrong. So Joy, what's her face? Joy Reid. That's one of the dumbest exchanges that I've ever seen. So Joy Reid's talking to, what's her name? Justice, the lady who founded Moms for Liberty. And she's like, well, because you're not an expert in this book, wait a minute. It features a phallus, and it's in public school, and junior high kids can read this stuff. What? Why do you have to be an expert to be like, I really don't think that seventh grader should be able to read a book about, well, I don't know. Can I even say that word on air? Hey, Kane. Kane, can I say that word?
I mean, it is,
it's part of the news story, but we have some, I mean, I'll get, every now and then I get complaints from some people who are like, I can't believe she said that word. And I it's literally part of a news story.
You feel as though it's important, I think.
Well, the phallus in the book.
Fake phallus.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good.
It's words. Come on. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. Top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the video component of the radio show as well. And you can also stream it. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all kinds of discussion at YouTube. Yeah, it's a fake male copulatory organ, what she just said, the Monster Liberty lady said. And I'm just trying to understand Joy Reid's entire discussion here. What is that? Wait, she's like, well, because you're not an expert on the book. Wait, what is there? Wait, what is there to be an expert about in the book? I'm curious because you shouldn't have to be an expert, as the woman said in the interview, to just know that this is not good, that you can't have this. Her name's Tiffany Justice. The book is All Boys Aren't Blue. It's banned in 29 school. It's not even banned. That's the other thing. That's not even accurate. When I see reports that say it's banned, they didn't ban it. They didn't do what the left did to Huckleberry Finn. They didn't do what the left did to Dr. Seuss. The left said they are never allowed in the schools again. The parents simply said, hey, we don't really think it's appropriate for our junior high kids or any kids in public school to be able to just go up and check out a book about strap-ons. How is that academic? I mean, how in the world is that academic? If you're going to brothel academy, maybe, but I really don't think that that's not what public schools are. I mean, so she was talking to, Joy Reid was talking to Tiffany Justice on this, and I don't understand the Simple Jack Harris. Can I just pause? Can you please pull up a screenshot of Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder and then Joy Reid's haircut? What in the Simple Jack Hades is she doing to her head? Because that is a Simple Jack haircut. She's appropriating Simple Jack's hair.
She is.
Especially, look at that side. Look at that. I mean, I'm just saying it's true. And I'm not wrong. And it's probably one of the most astute and accurate observations I've ever made about appearance, but it is. But she's talking, yeah, you'll throw that up. She's talking to Tiffany Justice, and she was like, well, you're not an expert on the book, so how are you? She's like, why do I have to be an expert on this book? What does that even mean anyway? An expert on what? School kids should not be reading about strap-ons in a public school library paid for by taxpayers as a form of academics. That's all there is to it. I mean, I can't even read this. I cannot even read this book on air. And I think one of the worst things that's ever been committed to audio was Senator John Kennedy reading it on air during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, because it was awful. I mean, and he was reading it with his, yeah, put up the Simple Jack hair, because that's Joy Reid's haircut. So she's questioning this, oh my gosh, it's the same hair.
It is
literally the same haircut. I am so distracted by this, I can't even stay on topic. It's the same haircut.
It is. It's
that Simple Jack hair. So she's doing this interview, and she's, you know, they're talking about it's not banned. The parents simply said, we cannot, we can't have kids reading this in schools. We can't. It just, this is not academic. It's not anything. And Joy Reid's like, but you're not an expert in it. What should she be an expert in?
The author's name.
Yeah. She's like, and Justice knew. She's like, look, they're talking about this from the perspective of the author. It's first person. It's from the perspective of the author. And that's what, you know, that's what they're reading it. But Reid's, it's insane. This is insane. And then Reid was saying that, because Justice during the interview had also brought up that the book is from the perspective of the author when the author was 13 years old And apparently the author was raped and had to deal with a lot of sexual abuse. And then the Joy Reid was like asking her, this was after the comment where she was saying, well, you know, you're not an expert in the book. She was like, well, what proof do you have that our child was raped? Oh my gosh. What is, are you an expert on this book? You're having a Q&A about it. And apparently you don't even know what the content is. But you don't have to be, that's a way for the left to just try to shut, what is that? To try to shut you up. You don't need to be an expert in sociology, psychology, or anything else to know that common sense, a book like that, that's talking about the stuff that I would actually be fined. I would be fined for reading this on air. Any passage of it. And I would be. Why is that then in public schools? For junior high kids to read, for kids to read, period. Why? $1 million question. Are you an expert? Are you? Apparently not. Simple Jack, apparently not. So a couple of other things I want to make sure that we're touching on. We got New Hampshire tomorrow. We've been discussing 2024 and the shakeup in the primary, a lot of stuff at stake, including the education. Things like this. Speaking of education, Joe Biden keeps on forgiving another $5 billion in student debt for 74,000 borrowers. This is barely 1 week after the last batch of loans that he just bippity-boppity-booed away. This time it's $5 billion for 74. They're buying votes. So the people who have had their debt, it's not erased, we just all get to assume it, is now 3.7 million. 3.7 million. Now, the one that was barely a week ago, was it wipes out debt for about 6.9 million. So this is an additional 3.7. And this is after, by the way, the Supreme Court struck down the student loan forgiveness plan that was in June of last year. And they were looking to cancel half a billion dollars in debt. And they said that the announcement of this plan is the U.S. Department of Education. They're trying to fix its broken income-driven repayment plans and the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. They have $1.7 billion of taxpayer money is going to go towards 29,700 borrowers enrolled in income-driven repayment plans, comes the report, who've been paying their loans back for two decades. I think that if you're it's two decades and you're, oh my gosh, what did you do? What did you do if it's taken you 20 years to pay your stuff back? It's not our responsibility. We're all broke. You're subsidizing these people while you're also trying to keep up, while you're also trying to just make your wages meet during a time of supreme inflation. And they said that these are, and it's all, they said a bunch of 43,900 people in public service who work in the public sector, they're going to have all their loans canceled, $3.2 billion. Government workers are going to have, people who get taxpayer dollars, they're going to have their student loans canceled. It's buying off votes. It's buying off votes. Absolutely. And I mean, I'm sure he's going to continue doing it. It's an election year. He's got to buy votes. Now, remember, the Supreme Court struck this down 6-3. Our debt surged to, what, $34 trillion. We just had another big spending thing that can kick down the road until March. This is going to continue happening. And hey, if they don't get the result that they like at the Supreme Court, they'll just pack it. That's what they're going to do. That's what they have planned. They are going to pack it. And I'm just saying, it doesn't look so good for the House. I'm looking at, there's some a bunch of retirements coming with a lot of these House seats. And it looks like, I mean, the House majority is absolutely in danger. Some of the retirements, we talked about this too last month, we touched on. They had 14 Republicans said they're not seeking another term. Three are looking for elected office elsewhere. This is going to make an impact. It is going to make an impact. And we're going to follow it and see, but I'm just telling you, these down ballot races are going to be super important. And we just lost one. That was, and I explained that one to you, that was it was a plus 13 Democrat district that went for DeSantis. But and he won, I think it was by 11 points. It was a district that Trump had previously lost. And then you had a weak Republican in it. And then the Democrat won by like 3 points, I believe. So they're still, it's tougher. It's not a done deal for anybody, but they're really going to have to step up. And I was going over in the last segment, if you missed last segment, you need to go and find it on the podcast. Maybe we'll throw it up on YouTube, because you need to understand the two of the biggest issues, one of which Democrats are absolutely going to weaponize against Republicans because they can't get it together. There's no leadership, no messaging. And I explained to you how state parties in more than one state are absolutely broke. And the Republican Party nationally hardly has anything in the bank, while Democrats are sitting on literally $500 million, or almost $500 million. It's crazy. We're going to get into all of that as well coming up this week.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is, let's see, we got a couple of stories here. This one's horrible. I'm not going to do that one. That one's bad. This Democrat way, Americans suffering at a rate rarely reached via Newsweek. The story is that the percentage of Americans estimated to be suffering was 4.3%. In the fourth quarter of 23, according to Gallup, their National Health and Well-Being Index. It's the fifth time in six quarters since the second quarter of 2022 that the number of Americans who evaluated their lives poorly topped at 4%. We've only reached that level since 08. They said that both levels exceed 23 and 22 exceed the levels of suffering measured during the Great Recession, according to Gallup. So some people, though, they say that they're thriving, 52% 23. Beating only the Great Recession era between 08 and 09. So I don't know who those people are. Who are they? Let's see. I just ended up losing this. We talked about the Biden loan forgiveness issue. You have to forgive me because my whole thing just shut down. And then we got Stephen Yates coming up. Hang on. Let me pull this up. Sorry. I have a technical difficulty here. See, that's why I don't like printing anything out, but then I hate it when it's all digital. A killer carried a bag with a neighbor's cut-up body after beating him to death. This is in the UK. Dang. You know, where crime doesn't happen because guns, that's what we're told. This guy, William Wilkinson, he, 65 years old, killed his victim before hiding the body parts in the days that followed. He was on CCTV walking his dog, and then police believe that he was battered with a wooden object repeatedly, the victim. The guy dismembered him. And then he went and he ended up getting tracked down, but he was walking around with literally a garbage bag and a shopping bag. And he was carrying this guy cut up all, and he's caught on CCTV all walking around. It's in Blackpool in Cumbria in Britain. He slept in his van, had the bag there. I'm just saying, like, scent wise, how does that work?
Right.
I don't know. An American Airlines plane slipped off a snowy Rochester runway shortly after landing. 53 passengers on the plane, none of them were injured, American Airlines said in a statement. They said it was pretty snowy. It landed in very snowy, icy conditions, too. It was at the Frederick Douglass Greater Rochester International Airport on Thursday. It was an Embraer E-145, just completed a 250-mile journey from Philly. And as it was landing, it slipped off the taxiway due to the snowy conditions. Don't they have, like, heated? Well, I guess not every airport does, but some do. Yeah, like, you would just think that some of them, yeah, would have that. It's, I don't know. That's a little weird. And a couple of other things. I'm going to go back. We have a high school student who saved a choking man at a Raising Cane's. It's a feel-good story. That's so nice. It was a brand new Raising Cane's, and a teenager was there and ended up, her and her friends were waiting for their chicken Thursday after school. A diner was choking. She said, my fight or flight kicked in. She took charge, gave him the Heimlich, and saved his life. That's awesome. Good on her. Stephen Yates coming up next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I honestly don't understand. I don't understand why it's controversial to anybody to decide that you're going to stand with Israel in this situation. I honestly don't understand why it's controversial to say we need a secure border. I've been very clear. In fact, that was weaponized against me as Republicans in my race, that I'm very much a strong supporter of immigration. And, you know, my wife's family, that's the Oregon story about that. And I think can be true at the same time.
He had a stroke and he sounds more sensible than anybody else in his party on these issues. Again, he gets a hoodie pass from me now, and I don't care if he wears shorts. I can't even believe this word. He gets it. It's so weird to say this, Kane. It's so weird. I feel like maybe Stephen Yates' jet lag is rubbing off on us right now because none of this makes sense. You guys know our very good friend Stephen Yates. He's been all over the world. He's been on multiple continents, just traversing the seven seas. He's been everywhere. And you know, he is the senior fellow at America First Policy Institute as well, and the chair of the China Policy Initiative. He was in Taiwan. He was in Hungary. He's been everywhere. But before we do anything, Stephen, I got to ask you. He's right, Fetterman, about the border. He has said over and over again, it has to be secured. He's talked about the drugs coming across the border. He's mentioned fentanyl. He's even, I can't even believe I'm saying this, he even brought up once China and their involvement in all the raw materials going into making opioids that have been flowing across the border. Your initial response on this? I can't believe I'm giving him accolades here.
Well, this would be worthy of an investigative journalism piece to go into what exactly happened, because there was none of this sense during the campaign. And I don't even remember this time in the campaign where he says he was attacked on these things, because during the campaign, it was pretty cookie cutter, far left stuff that was carrying him across the finish line. But whatever the transfusion was, it used to be the Saturday Night Live routine where they joked about taking all the blood out and replacing it with Folgers crystals. Something got into Fetterman and some common sense is coming out, and it's blowing my mind too.
It is bringing, I think, more, it's amplifying, I think, the existing existing concern that Democrats, maybe some Democrat leaning independents, et cetera, have about the border. Because when you see this stuff, I mean, you hear from Border Patrol that, while they're distracting Border Patrol with a group of like 100 illegal entrants coming across at this portion, here they're getting major shipments of fentanyl that they're bringing across, you know, in another point. Yeah. And this is such a driver, and the Chinese involvement in this. Talk for a minute about your understanding of how deep they are into this, because the raw materials, the things that the cartels are using to manufacture this, it's coming from overseas. It's coming from China.
Yeah, well, the fancy term for the chemical inputs for this is precursors. And so it's basically the ingredients before you put everything together and stamp it into a pill or put it into a liquid form. And so the manufacturers in China, many of them are state-owned enterprises. So, I mean, obviously the Chinese government and the Communist Party knows who's doing what with whom. I mean, after all, they have no ethics or privacy, and they have the world's most advanced technological surveillance state. So they know who's doing what with whom. But the Chinese involvement isn't just limited to getting these precursors into the cartel's hands. They're also their source of money laundering. They took it away from Middle East sources, and they have finding ways to get hard currency out of China because they know their economy is not so good, and they're kind of not happy with their government, and they're driving a massive shift in the money laundering business. And last but not least, they're moving people. And so they're bringing business to the cartel. So just like our universities got high on the sugar of full paid tuition from international students from China, the cartels and the human trafficking pipelines are getting paid up front mules going in that are Chinese, going into Ecuador or Panama and coming up through that trail of tears across our border. And it's either military-aged males who are going to do we don't know what, or they're feeding the human trafficking or what have you. And it's all basically a network of evil. And as you know, I feel particularly stung by what this brings into our country. It's the greatest attack on the American family in the history of our republic. And it's about darn time that more than just the sweatshirt senator from Pennsylvania starts talking about this and doing something about it.
Yeah, no, I think these are all great points. Talking to our friend Stephen Yates, you can find him on X at YatesComms as well. You were traveling to Taiwan. I was reading this, or you just got back from traveling to Taiwan. You've been to a lot of places. I was reading this morning that it was looking at a survey of, I guess, I don't know how much stock to put in some of these experts, but they were looking at whether or not these experts believed that China could actually invade Taiwan. And what they ended up, what Axios ended up reporting is that, well, definitely a blockade of the island for sure. But they're not at a point where they can in any time soon conduct an invasion of Taiwan. A blockade of Taiwan, though. I mean, I don't know how they could conduct something like that without it affecting like the entire world's, you know, shipping and distribution, etc.
Yeah, this is my frustration with war games. They tend to be conducted by egghead professors who don't really know where the trenches are in the ocean, and that if you're going to have a blockade of Taiwan, it's almost logistically impossible to do so without encroaching on Japanese maritime space and Philippine maritime space. And both of those countries have been stung with really aggressive campaigns by China's civil vessels and also their Coast Guard vessels. The Filipinos were blasted with water cannons. The Japanese on a daily basis face these kinds of harassment and encroachment campaigns. Those trigger in treaty alliances. The United States doesn't have any choice but to honor if we're going to have any alliances at all. And so it is hard for China to really be able to pull this off. But if you have kind of a permissive environment with a distracted or inept Washington, you have big conflicts going on in other parts of the world, you have overwhelming economic and supply chain dependence on China, they're not that crazy to think that they might be able to pull this kind of thing off, even if I might say it's harder than it looks. So we're in a zone of danger that way. People in Taiwan feel it and don't feel it. They've lived with this for so long that there's an unreality to it. They know there's no real reason for them to be attacked. I mean, they're just going about their business. They're a threat to no one.
Yeah.
The reality is Xi Jinping and under his leadership in China, they're not rational. They didn't have to stomp on Hong Kong. They don't have to be picking fights with the United States. Our elites were willing to give them everything and more if they just played nice, and they chose not to play nice. So we're dealing in this uncertainty, and it's not a happy situation.
Switching gears, still focusing on China, but kind of looking a little bit more domestically, particularly with the general election coming up and the primary dwindling down. What footing or message on China should a Republican candidate have going into the election?
Well, I put it this way. Anyone, Democrat, independent or Republican, they really ought to start with, even though it sounds like a slogan for one candidate, America first. But I mean, we have to make ourselves more self-reliant and sustainable and resilient. We cannot have these unbalanced trade relationships. We cannot have dependencies in areas that are vital to our way of life, whether it's food, technology, energy, go down the list. And there are pieces of this that used to be what the Democrats talked about, and you'd think that an RFK Jr. or someone else would be able to wake up the Democrats on that side. And that Republicans, I think, have been mugged by reality, that the doctrine of free trade just isn't the real world today. And we're going to have to save shore and have more manufacturing done in our hemisphere and in our homeland if we're going to be able to sustain our way of life. We're going to have to kick out malign influences away from our energy grid. I mean, you're in the great state, former Republic of Texas, and the Chinese have some toeholds there that could have undue influence. We just have to do a lot of this from the ground up.
Yeah.
The rest can take care of itself, but we all have to do that. And I think the American people are right there for that.
I was talking with our friend Stephen Yates at YatesComs on X. I was talking with a friend who does business all over the world, and was saying that one of the things that she believes is just absent from especially any kind of economic, any kind of type of foreign policies that relates to China is the patent issue and how China is. I was looking at the numbers. I mean, the surge, and I understand that China will steal things and refile, but they have they're dominating with tech, with patents. I'd like 3-1 with that of the United States. And they became, according to the World Intellectual Property Organization, just several years ago, they took number one in the world as the top filer for international patents. This is a major danger, especially rolling towards, you know, everything becoming more digital, rolling towards, you know, the chips that we all need to power all the stuff that we want to power. And we don't have any self-sustaining capabilities to do that here. Talk a little bit about that, because I thought that was incredibly insightful, and I knew that they were outpacing the U.S., but I was actually shocked by the amount.
Well, there's sort of substance, and then there's the lawfare angle of it that really, really matters. I mean, it is critical that we stay ahead on innovation. And the best way to do that is to respect free speech and to respect free markets and kind of keep those foundational things that did more to bring wealth, freedom, and security to the world than any era in human history ever did. And don't be shy or apologetic about it. Got to stand on those things. Now, the other thing is, China is the world's leading violator on intellectual property. There's a real question to be made whether we're going to have institutions that say, if you're the biggest violator on human rights, you're not on the Human Rights Commission. If you're the biggest violator on intellectual property, you don't get to file all of these patent applications. I mean, you have to obey and abide by and respect the rules if you're going to get the benefit of those protections. And we just have to have the brains and the cojones to stand up and hold firm on that. And that's shockingly to, I think, most sensible Americans, not where our policy has been. And so just doing that simple stuff would do an immense amount to level this playing field. But we just have to do more here. We've got to get out of our own way here. We've got to get those silly regulations out of the way so that we get what the creator gave us, process it here, don't send it to China. And just a lot of that can organically put us in a much, much safer position.
Amen to that. Stephen Yates at YatesComs. Always love talking with you. And I know these issues are just going to heat up even more as we roll towards November and all these other world leaders and tyrants start getting a little nervous as they see what's to come. So we'll have a lot more to talk about in the weeks coming. We're glad that you traveled safely. Good to see you.
Thanks so much, Dana. Take care.
You too. We have more on the way, folks, as we roll towards the bottom of this third hour. We got to talk to you too coming up about that insane story of the male golfer who competed in the women's tournament and won, you know, about elevating ladies golfing. It's pretty crazy.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And I love people who say, the blood of liberty, or excuse me, the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots. Well, guess what, man? I didn't see a whole lot of patriots that are out there walking around making sure that we have these weapons. What? Well, and if you really want to worry about the government, you need an F-16.
Okay, first off, what? That the... And the quote is, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. That's the quote. That was Thomas Jefferson. That's the quote that he misses. That was Joe Biden. Of course it was. What is he? The blood of liberty. Wait, no. He like started off so dramatic. What was his point? He was saying that they weren't talking about guns like that. They were, and then he's like, well, you got, okay, so if you don't think the AR-15 is powerful enough, if you're like, oh, well, you know, you can't, your AR-15 can't match our F-16s, first off, you're a psycho, number one, tyrant. Number two, then why do you care if we have them?
Right.
If they can't, you know, then why do you care? They undo their whole stupid argument. They have to go, oh, wait a minute, what? What? They stop every time. Okay, well, then what does it matter if we have these things? And? You got F-16s. I should have F-16s, but, you know, I couldn't afford it. I wanted to fly a plane. And if I even liked wanting to fly a plane. Anyway, I'm just saying, you know. So stupid. I saw some doctor thinking that he had a one-up, and he was calling some of these other people. It was a doctor, like an actual medical doctor. I just think it's a bad form if you're on social media and you're like, I'm a doctor. And he was saying that, your stupid firearm nomenclature, you mouth-breathing rednecks. He got mad because someone corrected him on his terminology. And it's like, no, you absolute blockhead. Certain words literally trigger certain aspects of the law and penalty. That's why language matters. Anyway, can we talk about the balls that it takes to be a dude to go into a ladies' golfing competition that's designed to elevate women in golf and then... you win it, and then, like, what's the point of it all?
You hear it in a minute?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, okay, well, yeah, because I know it's the guy's name's Haley Davidson. He's a trans golfer, and I'm going to give you your today's stupidity, and he wants to get into the LPGA, I guess, and that's what he wants to do, even though there's a men's version that I guess he probably can't get into. And so he got himself a spot in a women's tournament in Florida to get up to the next thing where he can get to the LPGA. He came out at the NXXT Women's Classic. He won it. And it's literally a whole thing. NXXT Golf is a professional women's golf tour focused on, quote, elevating women's golf. And a dude won it. He won it. It's a dude. He's literally a dude. He looks like a dude. It's a dude. It's because he's got balls. That's why. And he literally won it. And so he displaced these other women in this golfing tournament. Yeah. So there you go, ladies. All right, Kane. Today in stupidity.
Man, if that isn't it. I've got another example, though, because KJP is out there talking.
Yay, she's your favorite.
In public again. She's out there speaking in public.
Saying words.
Yeah, she's saying words. And these are the words she said. This is Karine Jean-Pierre on Roe v. Wade when someone in the press pool asked her about the president's position.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Karine, you said to Peter that the president wants to see Roe restored. It's still not clear to me, though, if he supports the late-term abortion restrictions that were included in Roe.
Well, if it's in Roe, then that's what he wants to see. I'm just not going to get into it. It's whatever is in Roe, what Roe was when it was a constitutional law, what the president wants to see restored.
No, it wasn't a constitutional law.
I don't like that jacket either. It's just not working. Not with that top either.
No, it didn't. No.
I don't like it.
That whole, and the words coming out of her mouth with what she thinks. Also,
yeah,
I'm not a fan of that.
I know. All right, folks, that does it for us today. So tomorrow, Kane's going to be on his way to Vegas. And then Wednesday, we're going to be at SHOT Show. And we got some very interesting guests coming up. I'll preview some of those tomorrow. Have a great night. We have the New Hampshire primary we'll cover, too. Stick with us. Back tomorrow.